Good, how are you?
My time zone on my phone. Now I'm in military.
I'm gonna call this meeting to order. And if I can get a motion to approve the minutes from March 13th.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Any questions on the minutes? No? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all. Moving right along, we're gonna go to 448.
Well, you have Dennis and Don here.
What is?
They're the late resolution at the back there.
It's the wind. Because even that's unique. That's unique even for this building. That's interesting.
I already said.
Definitely the wind.
All right, let's do 448. Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 18 of 2016.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, this has been before us for
a while.
6 months?
Six, 8 months. Kenny, go ahead.
We still don't have the authority to do what the sponsors want us to be able to do with it. We don't have the authority to levy fines. We don't have the authority for this to act like a tribunal. We would have the authority to refer these complaints to the State Human Rights Commission, which has the authority to rule on this and has only had, I believe, at the last count that I saw, 35 complaints statewide.
How long of a period?
3 years.
2013, 2014, and 2015, I think, with the 3 years. Sounds right. I don't have the documents on me.
Fair enough. Hector?
I'd argue that we do have the authority to do this, and the sponsor has brought this forward on multiple occasions, had asked at various points for additional input, and while I understand that your position
sponsor
is that we
have the input.
That's true. And the input was to eviscerate the law. So that said, at this time, I'd call the question unless someone's got additional debate.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Rich.
Is there any, rulings out there to see if this is legal, that we can pass this or can't pass this, or can we get an opinion from the Attorney General, or is it?
The Attorney General generally is not, especially this Attorney General has not been in the opinion given mood.
I certainly support this,
but I'm not interested in getting the county involved in lawsuits and things and being a test county for lawsuits.
I'm going to Rich, if you don't mind, I'm going to let Nick weigh in and see if he has an opinion on it.
Yeah, no, it's certainly something that we've studied, I think, for several months. There is a written opinion that's been disseminated by legislative counsel, and it's essentially what's been summarized by Chairman Ronk here. At the end of the day, I don't think we're going to get an opinion from the Attorney General, so that aside, certainly not on my request anyway.
Did minority counsel ever furnish a written opinion?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing it. I don't recall.
Did he pass it to anybody? Hector, do you have it?
I don't have it handy, but I'm pretty sure.
Why would you come Why would you come to a meeting and not have it available and you haven't handed it?
He's actually shown up here multiple times, Rich.
But I've never been handed it by him.
Okay. All I remember hearing from minority counsel on this was, you know, even when furnished with our opinion, well, we don't agree. We think we could do it anyway.
Well, how much of an issue has this been in Ulster County?
Two cases that I'm aware of.
Haircut last year, right?
And both of them were, I believe both of them were sent through our Human Rights Commission, which is more of a conciliatory process, and you try to achieve mediation rather than achieving punishment or punitive, fines.
Well, I understand the wanting to educate people. I mean, I don't think anybody should be discriminated against.
Neither do I.
Okay, and I don't think that they should be discriminated. I don't know if this is if this will do the trick, but I don't know if there's really an issue in Ulster County.
Oh.
And I know, and I can tell you, I know statewide because I was the one that got the information. I did call the State Human Rights Commission. There were 34 complaints. Out of the 34 complaints, 25 went to a hearing. None were founded, and the other 9 were still waiting to go to a hearing. And that was over a 3-year period. And that was statewide.
Jennifer, if you want to weigh in, please.
One of the same guy.
Just 2 points. One, there have been additional complaints in the schools that are not to be adjudicated locally because they fall under federal titles, although those are being rescinded as we speak, or at least they're being, schools are being told that they don't have to follow those. Secondly, I can tell you that the LGBTQ Center has heard of many complaints about mistreatment, but people don't, they're afraid to come forward because they don't feel they're going to be necessarily finding justice in that way. And then just finally, we're passing laws that are intended to prevent certain things from happening, let's say cyberbullying. So why wouldn't we pass a law intended to prevent this from happening? Logical fallacy not to see them in the same way.
It may not prevent it from happening, but there's a recourse if it does happen.
Right. Well, that's what
this
I mean.
This education prevents it
exactly
from happening.
Right.
This law doesn't prevent it from happening.
No, I know. I'm just saying to address what could be a way of curbing something. So I'm just pointing out the parallels.
Kenny?
If the goal of this is justice, then you might be depriving individuals who utilize this of justice if this is overturned on challenge, because we have opinions from counsel that have said that this is not permissible.
So,
and, hold on.
Sorry.
If the interest is justice, the State Human Rights Commission already hears these complaints, legally hears these complaints. And our Human Rights Commission, if somebody brings it to, you know, if somebody brings a complaint to our Human Rights Commission, they refer them to the State Human Rights Commission. So if the interest is justice, there's already a mechanism for justice. This actually has a potential to deny those people justice.
May I reply?
Of course.
So minority counsel has said that disagrees with majority counsel's opinion that it, in, first of all, that we could adjudicate this if it would follow on the heels of our support of the human, bolstering the Human Rights Commission. And that's also on the table for this session, which is why we withdrew in order to reintroduce following the human rights legislation. So I think that they do need to go hand in hand. Would you agree, Hector?
Well, I agree. But it's also a thing where I think right now we clearly we had votes that happened in this committee on human rights, on those three particular things, the executed petition and discharge. And this was the only one that hasn't been voted on. So
it actually passed committee once.
It did pass committee once, it's true. So
I think if you're curious about how many cases there are in Ulster County, hold a hearing, you'll see. There's I've attended several meetings at the LGBTQ Center, and it's pretty astonishing what the difference in treatment is toward people of transgender identity.
Kenny?
I don't think that there's anybody at this table that doesn't think that mistreatment of transgendered people or of any people is acceptable. But if we don't have the authority, we don't have the authority. And that is the opinion that multiple attorneys have given me. I've not seen a written opinion to the contrary. I've heard oral arguments to the contrary, but I've not seen a written opinion to the contrary, nor have I seen any case law that's been cited to the contrary. So
my question is very simple. How is this going to stop it from happening?
Well, if somebody knows, you know, what stops somebody from drinking and driving, knowing your insurance is going to go up, there's a fine. I mean, there's a fine.
I don't think anybody should be discriminated against.
Well,
the real question comes down to: is it going to do the job? Is it going to do what we would like it to do? And I don't even know if that'll happen.
I go Carl, then Dave. No.
I want to address what Legislator Berkey said about the figures changing. When you said schools, mm-hmm. are you saying administration or students?
No, the when the Secretary of Education was appointed, there was an executive order that came out. I believe it's an executive order. Correct me if I'm wrong. That said that they would be they would not be enforcing Title IX.
Right, the administration would not be enforcing.
Right. Which is,
I believe it was a rescinding of the previous administration's executive order, is what it was. So.
Title IX is broad, right?
So you're suggesting that the schools are creating an environment where students are denying transgenders their human rights by bullying them?
Not just bullying. I think there's the question of whether or not, in fact, you're entitled to even just the use of the accommodations.
Yeah, denying services. Like what had happened.
So can someone bring up the Board of Education to the Ulster County Human Rights Commission?
No, I think that has to be treated as a federal violation, not as a local one. But
there you go, Dave, then Pete.
That's why we left it out of the school, out of the law.
Right.
Well, just point of order.
People are making comments that this is not going to solve the problem. Of course it's not going to solve the problem. It's the one aspect that you're putting out. You're making a statement, and you're hoping that it has some effect. You're not. I don't think anybody is going. If you think it's going to solve the problem, I've got a bridge to sell you. The point is we would be making a statement as a county legislative body that's saying that we do not want this happening, and there are some consequences if we find that it does happen. Now, you know, we can compare with DWI laws and stuff like that. I mean, that's absurd. Of course, you know, people still drink and drive. Just because you got to pass the law everybody's going to stop drinking and driving. That's not the way it works. What it does is it chips away at it. Now, is drinking and driving more prevalent today than it was 30 years ago? I have a feeling it isn't. I have a feeling it did curb it to some degree. People are a little more frightened to do it. And, you know, not that we want to frighten people into doing the right thing, but, you know, I believe that it's time to move forward on this. And it's I don't think it's a... it's putting this county at risk in any way or form. It's making a statement, and it's making a positive statement for a community that needs a positive statement coming from us.
Thank you.
I just have a couple of questions. Have you talked to the schools? Have the schools weighed in with an opinion on what we're doing here tonight?
Yes, in fact, I did talk to a few of the different schools, the Rondout system and the Kingston.
And has this been an issue with those schools?
Yes, they have issues there. They have reported issues.
Do we have anything documenting that?
Yes, I don't have it in front of me.
And the other thing is, what's the fiscal impact of this? Do you have any kind of fiscal impact?
I don't think there's a fiscal impact. It's not that
well, if we're going to build separate facilities, then there's a fiscal impact. Maybe I'm wrong.
Who's building separate facilities?
No, you don't build separate facilities just because you allow someone to use the accommodation of their choosing.
And how do we tell? And this is a question for you. How do we tell the difference between a trial? Because I don't know, and I'm not. I'm not making.
I don't think it's anyone's business to tell the difference.
Well, I couldn't tell you now.
I'm sorry. We're supposed to follow the chair's directive.
I'm finding this interesting.
I'm not, but from what I understand, there's transgender, there's cross-dressing, there's transsexual, and or cross-dressing is heterosexual for the most part.
If I might, it's immaterial because there has never been a documented case of anyone. If what the concern is, this keeps coming up in every committee meeting, and I haven't brought every fiscal impact in. There has not been a case of anyone being harassed by a transgender individual because they have chosen to use a particular restroom based on their gender identity. So that's
I'm not worried about the transgender individual. Right. I'm talking about the cross-dresser or somebody else that you cannot really identify one way or the other, and yet they have the ability to walk into restrooms that are...
But that's regardless of this law.
Right.
And what's the concern?
But by doing this law,
if they harass
now you're condoning
somebody
it.
Or they assault somebody, they're committing a crime.
What?
if they cause harm, they're committing a crime anyway, if they do that. So that's not, but this is about people minding their own business. So not about people assaulting other people.
I don't believe anybody should be discriminated against. I just don't know if this is the way to go about it.
Our attorney has a point of information.
Just of the many observations we've made concerning this law, one that we did make, just to follow on Legislator Berkey's comment that there was, and I guess the intent is to exclude schools from the scope of this law.
That was the discussion.
Right. As it's currently written, I don't believe it effectively does that, because the definition of place of public accommodation, resort, or amusement doesn't stop by simply adopting the state definition, which is in 292.9 of the executive law, but it also says, comma, shall include any place within Ulster County also open to the general public, could include school buildings. So if that's the intent, the law as it's written doesn't accomplish that intent. So I just wanted to offer that point.
Fine. Well, we didn't hear that objection in the three-hour master symposium that we had.
Yeah, no, I included it.
We could keep finding technicalities, but
no, it's
we'd really like to work together.
No, but what I think
it's in the written memo, and it was not adopted. I'll leave it at that.
So I think what he's saying is one thing's being said, but the other thing's actually
wrong. Sure, and that's fine. I'd be glad to exclude.
He's not being critical. He's just saying.
No, I get it, but we can continue to find objections.
But if the intent is to exclude, and your intent would, then we could do that right here, this very moment. We just make an amendment to it.
Right. Either do you want to exclude schools or you don't want to exclude them? I don't know what.
I don't know that we should, if we have the authority as a county to be legislating what occurs inside a school building to that extent, but I think that's why.
I think if we pass something that would have the schools involved, I think you'd see 9 superintendents at this meeting next month saying, you don't have the authority to tell me what to do in my school.
The way we did with cyberbullying.
Cyberbullying law has nothing to do with what happens in schools, Legislator Berkey, and that's why when pointed out to the school districts, they no longer opposed it.
They didn't support it.
Oh, were you at that meeting with all 9 of them?
I have not received anything saying they supported it. None whatsoever. Show me one thing. One, that's all, just a little one.
Well, it's going to be law tomorrow, so.
Gee, I liked it.
I saw a couple of the superintendents after the meeting, because the meeting was held at my place of employment. And they told me that once they understood exactly what the law was, they all agreed. Even the superintendent.
They agreed not to oppose it.
All right, I think
that's
we're
all right. Let's keep with that difference
to make.
I think we're getting off track here. Unless we've got anything further to add, I'm going to call the question.
I got one little thing. There is most certainly a fiscal impact, because the county attorney is going to have to hire a hearing officer, and that's going to cost money. The end. I'm done.
Can I also say one more thing?
Go ahead, Richard.
If it does pass, and becomes a law, I'd like to see some sort of amendment to say that we would get a report once a year on any, just how many cases, how many doesn't.
Actually, well, we could make that amendment right
now.
That's
a friendly amendment.
I mean, yeah,
it wouldn't affect it after a public hearing. It's not a substantive change. So
well, for that matter, I'd like to see all reports to the Human Rights Commission. Why just limit this?
No, I'm not. No, I know. But we're just talking about this.
I think we know.
He's just talking about reporting mental health. It's fine.
It's just nice that they would send it to us instead of us having to go.
You should do that with everything.
Okay, that's my amendment.
Sounds like a communication box.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
I'm going to be in favor of it. I don't care if it goes to the floor. I'm in support of it. But if it goes to the floor, so be it.
I have no idea.
So what was that vote?
Let's do that vote over.
Yes, so his hands up.
Keep him up.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Looks like 4. Yeas have it. Law is passed.
Nope.
No, you're tied.
You're tied. 4-4.
4-4.
There's Kenny's here.
My apologies.
Yep. It's because Craig is showing up. He's over liable now.
Sounds like it's your fault, Craig.
Old faithful.
I believe it's actually my fault, but don't worry.
The last one, the late resolution, 179.
We're going to skip ahead
to
the end, 179, supporting a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to apply, accept, and administer funding for building improvements, and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required application or agreement to accept funding.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Purpose of lateness.
I think Don would like to answer that question.
The FDA, the federal government, gave us the letter for our award on last Friday.
Thank you, Don. Any questions on that?
And there's an expiration on that.
Yes, and we have to have our application deadline on April 24th, or we need to.
Okay. All right.
Any questions for Don on the...
Are these buses going to have advertising on them?
This is not the bus.
It's capital. It's capital.
All in favor of 179?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're
gonna, okay,
what are you here?
For Fonzie's?
I'm here for...
It's a stylist.
In case you want me for 95, and I did want to speak on 96.
All right, so we'll get you out of the way. Setting a public hearing, this is 95, setting a public hearing on local law number 1 of 2017, prohibiting the possession, distribution, or use of tobacco products by a minor in Ulster County.
I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second.
Richard.
Thank you.
You first.
Okay. I think this has the potential to be a good law. I don't support it now because in it, it talks about, with the exception of stocking shelves or carrying a bag out for a customer, a shopping bag out to their vehicle, somebody under 18 years of age can't be involved in the sale of the product. And I'm just, you know, there's 16 and 17 year olds and 15 year olds that work in stores where there are adults, and you know, I think that could be a problem with the businesses. And you know, you can be 17 years old and graduate high school and be out of high school and to be able to get in trouble to sell a tobacco product as a 17 year old graduate of high school, to me, is a little extreme. So that's why I think I need to see that changed.
Craig?
We're no on that right now. This had gone through the health committee, and TJ was there to answer a couple questions. One of my questions were if the sheriff's department was behind it, and my supporting this is really contingent on the sheriff being okay with moving forward, knowing that resources won't be diverted, and it wouldn't just be another burden on them. And I haven't heard from the sheriff, so I was wondering if anybody knew his position on this.
I have no idea.
Carl, you got your hand up?
No, I'm not to answer his question, but to offer my opinion.
Didn't we have...
Craig, are you done? Nobody seems to know what the sheriff thinks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, if any... Yeah. I'll reach out to him.
Didn't he say something in reference to that? I thought he made a comment that he wouldn't be spending too much time doing it or something.
I'm thinking that involved not participating in stop and frisk looking for a Lucy kind of things, but...
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember. I remember saying something, but it wasn't like real negative. But it wasn't.
That's what they call it,
Lucy.
I think that's probably accurate.
I'm on the health committee, and I discussed my concerns with the sponsor. I decided to vote yes to move it forward, but I'm all for raising the smoking age to 21. But I'm not for penalizing someone under 21 for having a cigarette.
This doesn't...
Let's just raise them. It does, though. It gives them some kind of diversion program or whatever.
I thought this was for selling. Oh, distribution. I was reading. Distribution or possession?
Possession of a cigarette. Now,
or distribution.
PUD.
Right. Why don't we, you know, concentrate? And we have laws already. We have laws already. Last year, I think it was last year or the year before, you know, where tightening, you know, we had to get retailers, they had to get a permit in order to be associated with selling tobacco products, and lay down the law of the penalties if they sell to underage, you know, purchasers. So I don't like penalizing. It's a victimless, you know, it's not a crime to have a, you know, to possess a cigarette,
when you're 18 or 19 or 20, why should we make it a crime? I mean, it's a health issue, but that's the person.
This is only for people under 18.
Yeah, this is, I was going to say, this one.
Yeah, under 18.
Well, under I can 18. Tell you, I find it, you know, this, I mean, this is,
oh, I thought the local law was for 21.
That, no.
That's the county executive's proposal.
Is somebody
I'm
that
sorry.
Taught for 28 years, and I've seen Never parents buy their kids cigarettes. That was part of the thing. The parent would pick up their cigarettes on the way home for the kid that was 16.
Oh,
so,
you and your story.
So that's besides the point. What I'm saying is that that happens. You have parents that are doing it. Should we take a look at some kind of parental responsibility here?
Well, technically, if they're buying them for their underage children, it's contributing to the delinquency of a minor. They're
that's
committing
actually,
a crime.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
Well, they do it.
I'm going to
if they
defer to our county attorney who wants to speak up on.
I'm not sure what the intent was here as it's applied to minors. And I just had a very brief discussion with your legislative counselor. So my office prosecutes in family court, and mm-hmm. we prosecute anyone under 16. Violations are not crimes. They are not prosecuted in family court. So the way this particular law is currently written, anyone 15 or under could not be prosecuted. Raise the age has come into effect now, and the way it's being read by my staff and myself is that violations will still be prosecuted in the justice courts, which they are now, such as open container, DWI, some of them that are violations.
Mm-hmm. What court?
Justice courts.
Court.
The local
town court.
Justice,
town court.
Or,
town court.
Or city,
city
court.
Court
or
so this would be prosecuted by a police officer?
So only 16, you still couldn't prosecute anyone 15 or under, okay, because that's a family court.
So it's 16,
delinquent.
So it's 16, 17-year-olds.
So this would just be for 16 and 17-year-olds.
Until raising the age.
Well, raise the age doesn't change what happens in family court either, except that it does send some misdemeanors to family court. This is a civil violation,
right?
Not a criminal violation. So the way we're reading raise the age at this point is that civil violations will still remain in justice courts. So your 16, 17-year-olds will be prosecuted as they have been in the past, but anyone under the age of 16 is not going to be prosecuted at all because they can't go to family court with a violation. Am I making myself clear?
Yes.
Yes.
Very
okay. All right.
So anybody under 15, this would have no effect.
This would have no effect on them.
So it's really just 16, 17-year-olds. That's it.
That's it.
And they're going to town
so
court
15-year-olds
or city court.
Puffing away, walking down the street, and there's nothing anybody could do.
Pretty much.
No.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Unless their parents.
Can we maybe postpone it until legislative Briggs could come and explain what his.
I think legislator Briggs had reached out to us and said he wanted to see it go to a public hearing. So.
You sent it to a public hearing.
You know what? Let's just change it and amend it and say ban cigarette tobacco sales in Ulster County. I mean.
You know, TJ. You know, TJ's not here tonight because his wife's having surgery done.
You're right.
What's everyone think about postponing it until next month? Give him a chance to come and talk to us about it.
That's fine.
Good.
I'll move to postpone.
Second.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
For 1 month.
Aye.
All right. Watch de facto 1 month.
Chairman stole my idea. Nobody liked it until he said it.
You got a better way with words, Rich. 96.
Yep.
Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 2 of 17, amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster to codify budget modification after adoption to be held May 9th.
I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second it.
Discussion?
Yeah.
I'm going to let the county attorney go rule on it, or
so. I did write an opinion on this. I presume you all received a copy of it because I filed it with the clerk of the legislature. Currently, as written, it's my position that this is a transfer of powers, and that the local law makes no mention of the fact that it would be subject to a mandatory referendum, which I presume you'd be looking at the November election for, or if sooner, then you'd have to follow the procedural guidelines set forth in the statutes. Have you received a copy of this, any of you?
I haven't. Yet.
I may have received it via email, okay. But was it a while ago?
It was actually an opinion written to the Commissioner of Finance on March 6th.
Okay.
I'm actually looking it up right now myself because I don't remember receiving
it. Council received copies, county executive, as well as the clerk. And she's fairly diligent, always diligent, about making sure that what I send her gets distributed. And if you look at the law as well, it's not just a simple transfer of powers, but I see it as also being in conflict.
You don't see it either, right?
Yeah. You don't see it?
No.
Nope. I'll leave a copy with Jill.
Well, can you,
Jay.
Do you have it with you?
Want to go run them off?
Yeah. Thank you, Jay.
Yep.
Nope. Got it.
You got it?
Yep.
You want me to do it?
When was it sent off?
Might as well.
Okay. The 13th. Please see two opinions below, one
March or
below, one attached regarding
April 13th or March 13th?
March 13th.
March 13th? Okay, cool.
County attorney, local law number 2.
The other thing that I see that it's in conflict with is the directive of the county executive in the charter to efficiently manage the affairs of the county on a day-to-day basis. It's referenced at the end of my opinion. So that, to me, also causes concern. And while it may not be totally legal in that respect, it is the issue of how much do you want to stop things that from going forward. Let me give you a for instance. I just found an attorney to replace someone that I lost. This was 6 months ago. Not for lack of people applying, because they did, but I was unable to find someone that I felt fit the position, that had some experience. So in the interim, faced with all kinds of different issues, I would be precluded from transferring money into another line item so that I could either hire someone to work on it, get temporary help, or whatever. I managed to get by, but it wasn't easy, and I have a new attorney. She was here last week. So, I mean, those are the kinds of things that I see, but clearly this transfer of powers is subject to a mandatory referendum.
Dave and then Richard.
Well, I have different opinions on that. I've got a different opinion from two different attorneys saying that it is not. And it does not require a referendum. And the reason why, and in fact, we made a change to it to address the very problem that the county attorney pointed out, she would still have been able to hire that person because we did change that one slight thing, because I did not mean that. It was, in other words, it was a something I missed when I did the resolution, and it adds a much used for payroll-related expenses. So therefore, that change that was made last month in committee fixed that problem, because I didn't want that problem to exist. It should, in other words, they should be able to continue to go on. If you look at the original, the way it was drawn up in the charter, it pointed out that according to this, it points out that within the department, you can transfer revenue or expenditures from within or purpose or the department, agency, office, or a unit, and so on. And then it points out, except that effects of such transfer may not be able to reduce the rate of pay or annual salary of any county employment. Any county employee. The change that was made, and this was the intent, my belief, in the charter in the first place, was they weren't supposed to be moving money from payroll lines into operational lines. And that is typical in most legislative, in most municipalities. So what we did was made that clarification. In other words, he's able to change policy by able to move money from from payroll lines into operational lines, and that's one of the reasons. So it was a very slight change. The only slight change it made, you cannot reduce the salary of any county employees, and you cannot reduce the salary line. And no big deal. At the end of the year, the money gets transferred around, or if he really needs to, like for instance, the way we reworded that would address the problem that, in fact, it wouldn't have been a problem. I don't see how it would have been a problem, the one that the county attorney brought up even before that was addressed. But anyway, it was addressed. And the change that we made last month by, in other words, for instance, if they never hired the bulldozer operator and they ran out of money for, and they needed more overtime people, you would still be able to take money out of that bulldozer line that they never filled. And we've had county positions that have been there for 3 years that have not been actually filled. And I believe this is sort of us doing our due diligence in order for us to actually be able to do the role that we are, the power of the purse. We need to be able to assure that money is not being transferred from payroll lines into operational lines to do it anytime they want. Now, you'd still be able to do that. All they have to do is just request that from the legislature. Also, the change here is just merely the idea that instead of you can't reduce the county employee, you can't reduce the county employee line. And I believe that was the intent of the commission in the first place.
Dave, you said you had an opinion from two different attorneys?
I sent them in the same time. I think they went out to around the same time, right?
I only ever saw the one I thought.
Well, I got the one. The one was, I just got it from somebody else and ran through it. I didn't get that in writing from the other one, but the one that I sent you was in writing.
Who was the attorney?
He'd rather not say.
It's somebody that works for me when I need some things done. Okay.
With all due respect, I still believe it's a transfer of powers, legislative.
I mean, no, I understand that. I understand your argument, but I don't agree with it.
Let me ask you a question. Your opinion was written on March 6th. Dave had made some changes, I would assume, after March 6th?
Yes.
Does the new resolution change your opinion
at
all?
I'm looking at the changes, which is unless used for payroll-related expenses. That's what you added to it. It still doesn't change my opinion that it's a transfer of powers. This is a power that was delegated to the county executive, and he's the budget officer. So in order to do that, you need to go and you need to have either a special or an election in November, a mandatory referendum.
Nick, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, we took a look at the specific issue of the referendum and as to whether we thought that the law would be subject to challenge if it were passed without a referendum. So I think I can get into a detailed discussion of my thoughts on it, but the bottom line is I think it would be subject to challenge if it's passed without a referendum. So I think there's no question that the legislature has the authority to interpret the charter, to issue clarifications of the charter, specifically set forth in, I think it's section 133. But the caveat is, whatever clarification is issued by local law has to be consistent with the municipal home rule law. So we look at the municipal home rule law and ask whether this proposed local law requires a referendum. Does it constitute a curtailment, transfer, abolition, what have you? And I think there is an argument to be made that it does constitute a curtailment. And if it's passed without the requirement of a referendum, if it's not approved by the electors, it would be subject to challenge.
Kenny, you had your hand up?
Yeah, thanks. I tend to agree. The first thought that I had when I looked at this was, well, we're taking the power away from the executive, whether it be implied or inherent. We're taking a power away that the county executive has used, albeit a small amount of times, 10 times last year. So when we're curtailing the county executive's power, we need to do a referendum. That was the first thought that I had. I still hold that, policy disagreements on this aside, I don't see where the argument could be made that we don't need a referendum.
Rich.
Oh, thank you, Chairman Roberts. I would just say I support what Dave's trying to do here. And we all know it comes out of the referendum for the family court move. And I'll tell you, to me, for the executive to be able to take 15 or 10 or 20,000 or whatever it was of taxpayer dollars without us knowing about it, because the legislature would have voted against it, any reasonable person would have voted against it, for him to take that money to taxpayers' hard-earned money to put an ad out in a flyer to mail to them telling them or suggesting to them how to vote on a referendum is a gross, is an absolute abuse of power. And there's nothing efficient or effective about that in any level of government. So I think, and I think, B, what you're saying is, what I'm getting out of it is, it's something we can do if the voters do support it in November. So I'm all for writing up a resolution, because who would be opposed to the voters having a say? Because people I spoke to were like, are you telling me they're spending taxpayer money to do a mail-in to tell me how to vote? So it's crazy, and I think to give the voters a say, to say, should the legislature be able to stop abusive spending of taxpayer money that is just to get somebody's name in the paper? I think it's general. A legitimate. You what?
I think that's just too general. That statement.
Well, we can. Well, it can be written up in a way. If it happened 10 times, then 10 extra resolutions a year we would get. I don't think that's. I think that's okay for us to get that. So,
all right.
Anyway,
I'm going to go with Hector, then Dave.
Okay.
Finish up.
So, I guess firstly, I don't know if this requires a referendum, but it may be the path of least resistance. But secondly, I have requested of the executive just to make sure that we've actually got the accounting of the times it was used last year, about 10 times, something like that, but also what that dollar amount is, right? Mm-hmm. And I actually asked, you know, I said, you know, you want to do maybe the past 3 years or the past 5 years? Not that I think, drastically changes all the votes, but I think it's good to know, to understand really the scope of whether or not this actually is a massive problem or not. But that's one thing that I was hopeful we'd actually have here tonight, and I'm guessing we don't have that here. You don't have that.
That's my guess.
Right.
Not finance. So
didn't know if they'd handed it off to you.
I didn't hand it off.
May have been optimistic. But I guess my question through the chair to Mr. Donaldson, who's also the next speaker, whether or not you would be willing to even just consider the add referendum to this. So that's it. And I'll stop talking. Dave.
Well, I want to, first I want to address a few of the things it said. The Legislative Council pointed out that it could be subject to challenge. Everything we do can be subject to challenge.
True.
I really don't give a damn what we do. Some of the things that are so plain and blatant that we do all the time can be challenged. If somebody decides they want to challenge.
It's all about likelihood of victory.
We live in the United States. Anybody can sue anybody for any reason at any time. Doesn't mean you win. And in this case, I don't think they would win. Because it is a slight clarification. Instead of employee, it's an employee line. And to address something that Rich was pointing out was, it came about, yes, because I discovered that. In other words, I felt that was totally wrong, but that's, when I looked at that, I realized that what was happening, that is wrong. It's not what he used it for. You can argue that, you know, hey, it was advertising or whatever the case may be, whatever your argument may be. The point was that it was done, and in other words, I was made aware that that's how things are operating when you're not supposed to be. It really shouldn't be able to transfer money out of payroll lines in that manner. And that's just a given for most municipalities. Right? So whether it be counties or cities or towns. So that's my position on that. But having said that, I have no problem. We go to referendum, we'll go to referendum. If everybody wants to support that, I mean, I would that's fine with me. I mean, if that's the way you feel that we should go, then that's what we'll do.
As long as we don't have any misleading language in the referendum.
Well, my purpose is we decide that, and I'd like to make sure that we are in agreement on how the referendum is worded.
Maybe, right. Kenny, you could let Dave write this one.
I am, but watch out. You can get sued when you do that.
I got a question for you, Dave. Obviously, Mike has only been our one and only county executive. You were the last chairman that had the power of running the government. You've been here during prior 10 years. Has this practice been used when the legislature ran the government?
Well, it's a totally different government, so you can't compare it because it's not a...
Yes, that's the correct answer.
It was used because there was no separation of powers. The purpose of having this type of thing is be part of the separation of powers. We are the policy making and the power. We have the power of the purse in the end. So that's, in other words, we need to be made aware. In other words, when you don't know that you're moving money from those type of lines, and in other words, when we create that budget, we create that budget for these budget lines, for these payroll lines. And when you're using those payroll lines to buy stamps or to buy advertisements and things like that, it may go against the very policies that we also pointed out. That's why you...
And I think we used to have a resolution moving money from a payroll line. Our resolution books used to be this thick.
The idea Rich Gerentine pointed out, when Rich Gerentine found out that the money was transferred the way it was, he didn't realize. He thought, oh, no, they can't do that. I said, yes, they can do that, and it was done. So he didn't even realize that being the chairman of the Finance Committee thought that it wasn't able to be done because he served as, you know, he's been a town supervisor, and, you know, so he's been involved in those type of things for a long time. So all I'm doing is clarifying the thing. This is actually... You could call it them being vindictive, if other people want to call that, but I mean, that's where it came out. That's how I was able to see it. The only way I was able to see it was because of the various things that took place. So, in other words, so if I knew this happened even without that, I would have still gone to go about making these changes.
Kenny and then Pete.
You know, I don't think this is about vindicism at all. I don't think it is. I think so. If it's not, it is now.
Say it again for the record.
No, it's okay.
Vindicism? I think vindictivism could be as wordy as that is.
That's fine. Whatever it takes. And there again.
There again, I was going to say.
But that having been said, you know, I mean, we already have mechanisms to do this. You know, the legislature, our biggest power is at budget time. We could move every vacant line in the budget into contingency, and then Mike would have to come to us to ask us to fill any line, whether it's a, you know,
but somebody
a chronically
could retire
carried,
half year, and then that budgeted salary, you can move money from it.
I understand.
So you still ways around it.
But we also get it. I mean, regardless, I'm not against this, but no, I think it needs a public hearing. I'm sorry. I do think it needs a referendum, and you know, what if we postpone it tonight? You and I work on a referendum language. Come back next month and pass it for public hearing.
Why don't we just pass it and then work on the referendum?
We'll come back next month. We still got time.
What's the timing?
We'd need to have this passed in June.
Yeah,
we could pass the law in July if we wanted to get it on the ballot.
I was going to say July is actually the July's
but I'm saying that I'm saying and pass the public, you know, for the public hearing to have in June, which is what we would do by having it next month. It's up to you. I think that if we passed it for public hearing as it is, and then went to public hearing and then added a referendum afterwards, we'd have to go back to public hearing again.
Or we just change the language that we're right here and saying we're going to referendum.
Well, we've got a bunch of other resolutions to go through. I haven't heard anybody tell me it's been abused. I mean, that's what it really is. In my opinion, it was abused.
My opinion,
Did you know that the mail-in was paid for by taxpayer money?
Yeah.
And you think you were okay with that?
Yeah, I was okay with that.
Okay.
You were okay to manipulate the public.
That's your opinion, Dave. You know what? If somebody had said what you wanted them to say, you wouldn't even be
talking about it right now. I don't know. You'd be going right along with it.
I'm just saying people have a right to know where their money was being spent and how it was being spent and what was in your best interest. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. I don't. And if it's not being abused.
Could have been private monies being spent to, if you're going to try to influence the public with the mailing, you could use your own monies. Raise monies
okay,
on your own.
Okay, but you're saying he influenced. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But the fact that that's, once again, an opinion.
Well, what is it? What was the object of a mailer?
The
can
point
you just
is,
can I ask you one question? What was the object of the mailer?
To let people know what was going on.
To try to influence them how to vote.
No, to let them to
you
to
look at the damn thing.
Look at well, read the thing. If you don't think that was a propaganda piece, trying to influence people.
Piece in worst
and what's
case.
In the, you know, explaining what's going on.
Listen,
what's in
I'm not
best
opposed
interest.
To it.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm not opposed to just
interest,
mailing it out.
Look at the damn
but use your own money. Don't use taxpayer money.
But if this is not being abused, then I don't know what we're doing here with this.
It is. But that's even if it is, it wasn't abused. It should be
postpone it.
Yeah. Let's move on. And
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion. We postpone this for 1 month. Bring it back next month. Legislator Donaldson and I will come up with some ballot language that'll be acceptable to.
I will make it.
All right.
Legislator Donaldson.
Second.
All in favor of postponing it?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thanks,
Ken. Thanks,
Ken. 140.
What's Dennis doing here?
I don't know.
He's observing. He's enjoying himself. Oh, no, he's leaving now.
Why, Dennis?
Dennis, play it out for me. What's I think I remember. What
Dennis is just milking the system. That's all it is. I know what he's doing. He claims he works all those hours.
We're on that one. Forget that.
Yeah, he wants that comp time. Then he never takes.
We're going to go to 140, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 3.
I had to order Dennis to
exempting from taxation real property improved pursuant to the Federal Americans with Disability Act of 1990.
I'll second it.
I'll fifth.
Discussion, Craig?
Yeah, this is a property tax incentive for non-residential establishments that make capital improvements with respect to the ADA to make their most likely small businesses, maybe some doctor's offices, some mom-and-pop shops more accessible, more wheelchair-friendly or disability-friendly. So, if you have any questions, I can go into a little more detail.
I believe the amount of money that's involved in this is minuscule, really.
Yeah, it's
a percentage of the
improvement.
Yeah. The cost of the improvement.
Yep, it's 50% off of
the improvement,
the assessed value.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say the access to the assessment. Yeah.
And then it's each year it's reduced by 5% over the next 10 years. So it starts at 50, ends up at 0 after 10 years.
Go ahead, Kenny.
Just to you know, commend Craig on this. You know, right now in Orange County, there was just an article in the Times Herald Record. There's a there's a law firm in Orange County that's going around and suing individual businesses for small ADA violations. You know, sometimes the ramp is too steep, or they're any number of violations.
The bathrooms,
They're
actually hiring people with disabilities in order to.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's something. As Legislator Donaldson pointed out earlier, you can sue anybody for anything in this world.
Yeah.
But I think that this is going to be a good way to encourage people to make these improvements on their own.
If it offsets some of the expenses, I think it'll be a good thing. It's a win-win. It's good for the the business owner, and it's good to open more doors, if you will, for people with disabilities to have greater access. Any little bit, I think, it would help.
Hector?
No, so just Craig, just for clarification, for the record as well. So this would only be on the improvement. Right, specifically, so not even on the overall property, but just merely on the portion that was. I'm just making sure for
the elevator.
People, the elevator, for example, or the ramp, or the whatever.
Right. So
it would be 50% of that.
Right. So if somebody put $100,000 into it and to their place,
that $50,000 would be
exactly.
Yep.
Great.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I sponsor that. Co-sponsor.
Yeah. Sure.
I think we're all going to want to co-spend it. It's like Craig Mountains.
All right, we're going to jump ahead to 141 on the back. requesting the New York State Legislature introduce home rule legislation amending general municipal law to authorize a permissive referendum for the County of Ulster independent redistricting plan.
Mr. Chairman?
I'll move it.
Let's get it moved.
Moved and I'll second it.
Go ahead, Ken.
Thanks. I would actually like this to be postponed for a month. I wanted to have it in the packet. I wanted to have everyone be able to take a good look at it. We have a choice here. We have a choice to either pass this and hopefully obtain home rule authority to do a permissive referendum on redistricting, or in September there's going to be a new charter revision commission triggered to revisit redistricting. That was what was done in the last charter revision that we passed as a stopgap compromise, if you will, on whether or not the legislature should approve redistricting lines, not the ability to change them or alter them, but
up or down vote.
And I don't know where the will of the legislature is. It may be the will of the legislature to just let the clock run out and have a new charter revision commission in September. But I wanted to have this in so as to, you know, I always like the road not traveled. So, we'll, you know, if we choose not to take this route, I wanted it to at least be in the front of our minds before we run out of time.
All right, I'll move to postpone, Mr. Chair. 1 month.
A second.
Okay.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Right.
Thank you. Postponement. 142, appointing and reappointing members to the Periodic Compensation Review Committee.
Do we have a resume for Mr. Benjamin?
No, not for reappointments.
After they do this work, if we ever follow their advice.
I'll second.
No. We never followed a couple of times we didn't give ourselves raises. But one of the times they suggested we take away our health insurance.
They were going to give us a raise, and nobody did. It was a flat fee everybody would get, and if you want health insurance, get health insurance.
That was one of their proposals, but it was one time they suggested a raise
quite a few years ago, and we didn't.
That's what I'm saying. For whatever reason, we didn't.
It's all a matter of our will.
I think it was moved and seconded, Mr. Chair.
I didn't hear them, so I'm going to skip right over it.
It was moved by myself and legislative parity.
I was one of the only legislators.
All in favor?
Testify.
Aye.
Aye.
Discuss it.
That's fine.
Not like you'd care.
Aye.
Opposed.
Well, I gave you a written testimony.
None are opposed.
You and I both did that 1 year. We signed it together.
All right. 175.
175. This is a rough draft. Authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to sign an intergovernmental agreement with various school districts in Ulster County.
Move it.
For the use of polling equipment.
So just the moved and seconded, Mr. Chair.
You want to speak on it?
Well, I'm just curious. So what equipment are they using?
Our voting machines.
The new ones.
Yeah,
I'm not really fond of that idea.
Interesting. Traditionally, they've used our old voting machines, which was, you know.
Yeah, but I think they're all broken now.
But they're so easy to fix. Even you and I could fix.
I wish we still had those voting machines. They're way better than what we have now. But it is what it is. That ship sailed.
So these guys want to use our optical scanners. They already have the Scantron, so. Can't they just use their little Scantron things there? No? They don't have that? No? You sure?
I guess you're just not in favor of ease of voting for the general public there, Legislator Rodriguez.
I haven't voted yet, Mr. Chair, therefore you can't say anything yet.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All that, Hector, you still vote in favor?
Yeah. Sure. Just to make sure it was on the record, but, you know, those old voting machines were good. Yeah. Make sure everybody knows it.
Yeah. New business? I'd like to entertain new business. Hearing none. Let's talk about old business. Hearing none. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Go ahead, Dave.
I believe we have a meeting on Wednesday for the campaign finance reform, so we're going to be trying to move that forward along with another resolution. I don't know if that resolution didn't come through here anyway. The bus advertising.
Now, motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Thank you all. Appreciate it.